Okay, so let me start working through some of the administrivia. So, first of all, quick IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. They're open to the public. However, if you've not signed up for the CCG and have not agreed to the group's IP policy, we can't consider substantial contributions. So you're welcome. But it'd be great if you sign up. That helps clear up some of the potential complexities around intellectual property. Connections check and scribe selection. So when Kim gets in, I'm sure she'll start working through the connections. Oh, is there bad noise, Manu?
No, there is someone typing noisily in the background, but that's about it.
I see. Okay. Okay. Could I induce anyone to be a scribe this week? I'll start working through our list. We got Benjamin Young, Bob Dolan, Christian Lundquist, Christopher Allen, Dan Burnett.
I'm here, but we'll probably have to leave early.
Okay, thanks for checking in, Dan. Dan Pape, David Lane, Drummond Reed, Frederico Sportini, Greg Linklater. Sure, no one wants to be scribe. It's an easy job.
I can scribe Kulpreeter. I mean, it'll be my first time ever. So.
Okay, great. Thank you. And who was that?
Kulpreet.
Oh, Kulpreet. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
So are you familiar with how we do it in terms of name and colon, and you can use a dot, dot, dot to continue the previous quote?
Okay, that's useful enough. And if I make any more mistakes, please just shout out on IRC.
Okay, great. And your IRC handle is Jungly?
Jungly, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So Manu's got you hooked up as scribe. Thank you. Appreciate it, Kulpreet.
No worries.
Okay, the agenda real quick, we're going to do our usual boilerplate in terms of introductions, announcements, action items, and work items. And then we're going to real quickly introduce a group specification roadmap that Manu has put together to try and give some perspective on the different standards involved in the overall work, which is going to feed into a review of the DID working group charter. And we specifically structured it that way because we think the roadmap will open up a lot of questions, which will help inform the conversation about the DID working group charter. So we're not going to get closure on the roadmap as much as we're going to use it to frame, okay, what do we need in the DID charter and what's not going to be in the DID charter? Because I think that's one of the big open questions. Okay, introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anyone new on the call who's not introduced themselves? I think I see a few names that are new. In particular, I think Richard, whose last name I'm afraid to attempt to pronounce. Richard K. That's beautiful, Kim. Richard, could you introduce yourself? If you're trying, you might be on mute. Maybe not. Can the rest of you still hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like Richard may not be available. Anyone else that's new? It's an easy introduction.
seeing that Kim is asking me to introduce myself. So yeah, I'm the IRC handle KEZIKE. I've actually been attending these before. I just took a long hiatus. My name is Kayode Ezike, this is an introduction. And I am a current master's student in IT, working with Tim Berners-Lee in the Centralized Information Group. And my work is centered around the cyber credentials, specifically as it relates to the SOLID ecosystem.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Kayode. Okay. Announcements and reminders. So we are using this link, which I will just put into the IRC for announcements. These are announcements that are coming out of our group, whereas sometimes we have in here reminders, which are not necessarily things that we're running or hosting. So the big thing is we are in the midst of the summer BTCR virtual hackathon. So today's the second day of that. We have a regular stand-up call. Normally it's at 9 a.m., but it'll be 10 a.m. Pacific today, so it'll follow this meeting. And we basically get together and work on pushing forward the BTCR spec during the day and during the call. We just have a little scrum and share with each other and get feedback and deal with bottlenecks and clarification questions and things of that nature. So that's happening right now. There's more details on the announcements page. At the end of August, my data is coming up, and we do support that and recommend folks who can attend it. There are quite a few of us who will be there, especially talking about DIDs and other things. Rebooting Web of Trust, tentatively the 24th through 26th in Toronto. We're having some challenges getting a venue there, but we're still working on that, as well as a hackathon potentially at the tail end of that week, more widely for DIDs of any and all flavors. We'd like to get different methods represented there. In October, both TPAC and IAW are happening. TPAC is a Technical Plenary Advisory Council, Advisory Committee, something like that. It's the main W3C technical meeting, which unfortunately is at the same time as IAW, but we recommend both of these. A bunch of us are going to be at TPAC and not make IAW, but I know several of us will also be able to make it to IAW. So that's announcements. Anyone have anything they want to add? Is that Chris, did you have – oh, we've got tons of people on the queue. Go ahead, Moses.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to reiterate my call for support for the Decentralized ID Virtual Summit. And I wanted to add that the it's a free event, and GSMI, that's co-producing it with me, they're not a big company. They're a startup in the conference area, and they're investing several $1,000s in bandwidth and production services to make this a first-class event. Also downline, they do have us planned to be a component in a very major conference, including face-to-face, but we need to show that we can actually drive traction. So that's why I've been pushing to do something on a Tuesday, because if I can show that there's a bump in the sign-up rate on after Tuesday, it means that we have an effect in the world. So I urge you to share the following link. It will only take you a few minutes of your time, and it can actually help get this off the ground. Again, it's a free event. We're contributing the mailing list to this group for management by the chairs, and it's a great way to build a common so that we can actually get decentralized ID off the ground. So if you have any questions, please email me. And again, there, in case any of you feel like you haven't been invited to speak, you're invited to speak. We have another day on decentralized ID, and then we're moving on to governance. So please contact me directly. Thanks.
Great. Thank Moses.
I yield the floor.
Okay, next up is Kim.
I claim the floor. so yeah, I'm just doing an ID for area codes 312 and 510. 510. I feel like that's someone in the Bay Area.
I already added myself.
I feel like you might be me, Ryan Grant.
Which 312? Okay. Okay, thanks. I'm done.
Okay, Dan.
Yes, we didn't actually do reintroductions, and I was going to volunteer to reintroduce myself because I have kind of some news in that respect. So just a little bit of background.
Okay.
I am one of the co-chairs of the Verifiable Claims Working Group. I've been doing a variety of standards at W3C for too many years now. I actually got involved in the verifiable claims work and credentials work out of personal interest because I think it actually leads to a world that is more like what consumers want, essentially, as opposed to what corporations using data want. I have just recently, in addition, I just recently joined the standards team with Consensus. That's Consensus with a Y. I intend to continue what I've been doing, actually probably becoming more involved in the CCG and related work like the DID working group. Thank you.
Very cool. Thanks, Dan. Glad to have you. Exciting to have you more involved over here, as well as the VCWG. Okay, Chris, you're up.
Thank you. I wanted to mention at the end of July, the very last day of July and the first few days of August here in the Bay Area, is the Decentralized Web Summit at the Internet Archive. I just sent the URL. I know that Kim and I have agreed to do some kind of booth-ish thing. I'm not quite sure what I agreed to at some part of the event and show off educational verifiable claims, BTCR, and other output from Web of Trust and this community. So if there are other people that are interested in participating here in the Bay Area at the Internet Archive, we'd love to have you join us. That's it.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. Okay, so that wraps it up for announcements. Current action items next. Anyone have any progress to report? Looking at the link there.
I mean, it's already on the agenda, but progress on charter and roadmap. And primer.
Okay. Is it primer is not listed there? I'm guessing that's a work item.
Yeah.
Okay. Since I have it on the hook, how's the method spec coming?
not progressing. But implementations are progressing, so that's good.
Well, you need both, right? So
exactly.
Okay, so we'll move that into the rest of the conversation in terms of the roadmap and the charter review. Anyone else? Chris.
Yeah. I was hoping to get more people involved in the hackathon from the JSON-LD and community, in particular around 1.1, and also, basically the action item is we really need to draw some more people into not just the JSON-LD side of things, but we also need some more help with the credential cipher sweeps that we're using with JSON-LD. I had a few snafus with stuff. Basically, at this point, the only code base that supports kind of graph and some of the things that are in 1.1 that we need to use for proper verifiable claims appears to be the JavaScript one that is part of the playground, the JSON-LD playground. It has kind of an old version of the Bitcoin signer, which has some problems. We have not been doing a good job in shepherding the cipher suite, the signature suites, which maybe we'll talk more about in the roadmap. But I want to put it in as an action item. We've really got to, identify the people who are working on those types of things and get them in, because I think the risk is we're going to end up having JWT for everything because we're just not providing tools. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Manu, you're up.
Yeah, just to mention that we're happy to support in that capacity, specifically Digital Bazaar. So I know Chris Weber, Dave Longley, Dave Lane, and myself can help with whatever comes up. You're right in that you can make progress without the 1.1 stuff. The signatures are going to be wrong, meaning they're going to use the old signature mechanism, but that's probably okay for the types of round trips that you're doing. So the signature isn't going to be right, but all that is just in kind of upgrade to the software once the software is there. The more important bits are, can you express the verifiable credential in the way that you want? Is the context, expressing what you need it to? Those kinds of things. If anybody else, like if you're a developer and you're looking for a place to help out, this is definitely one of those areas. I can't imagine that it's going to take a tremendous amount of work to bring the implementations up to speed, but it's just, if it's not JavaScript, we primarily deal with JavaScript both on the front end and the back end. So if it's not JavaScript, at least Digital Bazaar, it's kind of a secondary priority. But that said, we have plenty of people here that could update the libraries. We just need to understand what's broken and what's not working. And that's it.
Okay, thanks. Chris, did you want to respond to that at all, or is that, we can move on?
I just put a URL. That's all that's relevant.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, so work items. Work items we keep track of in a slightly different list. I know one that we want to talk about, which is Amira. If anyone else has a work item they want to report on, go ahead and put yourself on the queue. So Amira 1.0.0 has been published by the Rebooting Web of Trust, and this was the first stage, in something we hope will become a output of this group and hopefully maybe published as a note maybe by the VCWG. So we are going to be reviewing that next week in more detail. Let me put the URL where you can download the PDF. It's about 11 pages, so it's not that long. It's a pretty quick read. And it is, in essence, a interpretation of Chris's original Web of Trust user story through this particular information lifecycle engagement model that I like to use. So if anyone wants to comment on that or has another work item to touch base on, put yourself on the queue, and we will be diving into Amira in more detail next week. And some of the questions there, I guess, to queue up Manu, maybe this is for next week, but what do we do with it other than getting it into a respec repo? What's the right amount of engagement and consensus building for this group for a work item like that? I don't think we've
Are you asking right now, or are you going to ask later? Are you queuing up the question, or are you asking right now?
If you have some comment now, I mean, sure.
The short version is I haven't had a chance to think about it, but Sam's on the queue, so I'm going to queue after her.
Okay. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, I'm just going to drop a link to the California Consumer Privacy Act again. I've been a little bit busy traveling this week, but I've started to sort of go through our use cases and see how I can just tool some to add into that. But the other question was for the person from the verifiable claims. There's a lot of stuff on the law or on the bill about a verifiable claim, and I'm wondering, do they know about verifiable claims, or is this just legalese that's overlapping? And if anyone has any sort of comments on how that they can people can be compliant in regards to specifically with our group or any of the credentials group, and yeah, just how we can connect that, ground that more together, because I feel like it's very important. That's all. I'll drop the link. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, Manu.
So as far as next steps, I mean, this is the most thorough use case I've ever seen at W3C. They're usually like two paragraphs long, and they're, you know, kind of hastily put together. I shouldn't say that. Some of them, like, extend to a page. So this is a bit, you know, it's a bit uncharted territory, but I think that's a good thing, right? I mean, here's the minimum we could do. So, you know, we could put it in respec format, and we could make it a final community group report, which is just like, hey, the community group went off and did this thing. Everyone reviewed it. At least the CG is supportive of it. And by doing that, we can actually link to it in a charter or just background reading for the charter, all right? So you don't have to have, like, full-blown acceptance. And then, like, past that, it's up to the working group to decide whether or not they want to publish it. The furthest this could get is a W3C note, N-O-T-E. And it's pretty much already done. Like, I mean, so the order of operations here could be we pull this in as a work item. We try to get consensus in the group behind this use case. We publish as a final community group specification. And Joe, I don't know if you're classifying this as a decentralized identifier use case or not. But you could kind of push it to the DID working group to publish as a W3C note, and they would do it. Like, you know, I would expect that group to do it, because it's, you know, it's a very light lift. So by doing all the heavy lifting, it makes it really easy to publish as a W3C thing. Now, so that said, what's going to work against it is it's like a human heartfelt story, and W3C engineers tend to not. There's a certain subset that respond very well to that. There's another subset that don't respond well to that. But all that said, I don't think anyone would be able to block this from being published. The question really is, what do we want to achieve? Now that this document is here, what do we want to achieve with it? And once we have the answer to that question, then we can figure out exactly how we're going to move it through W3C to achieve those ends. Anyway, high-level thoughts right now.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Manu. We'll talk about this in more detail next week.
I'm sorry to break in, but I'm not near the IRC. If somebody would connect me with Sam, I'm willing to work on a use case related to the – this is Adrian – related to the privacy law in California, if she wants to have somebody to talk to about that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Adrian. I will I'll queue up an email to make that introduction. Okay, what's next on the agenda? So no other work items, folks? Okay. So So we're doing great in terms of time. So next up is the group specification roadmap. So this is something Manu had put together. Manu, would you like to introduce it? Let me copy the URL into the chat.
Right. So there, this has come up a couple of times before where we try to kind of plan out what the future of this group looks like. As some of you that are new, to the group may not, you know, understand the difference between a credential, the community group at W3C and a working group. This group, the community group, is a long-running group. It doesn't have an end date to it, whereas a working group is usually a very fixed, focused group of time on a very specific specification and problem. You know, we're you know, this group is roughly formed around credentials of many different types, professional licensing, education credentials, you know, security credentials, things of that nature, and self-sovereign identity that based on the definition that we've been working on at Rebooting Loan Trust. So the roadmap that just got placed into IRC is a view of what we could do over the next couple of years, solely focused on the technical specifications that we could produce. So it specifically does not point to charters that we might need to do. It doesn't point to use cases. It doesn't point to stories and those kinds of things. What I was trying to do is just put down a technical roadmap based on everything that we've been talking about for the past several years. What technologies are we currently working on or we know need to be put into place to achieve this vision of self-sovereign identity for all? Okay, so that's what that roadmap diagram is about. Again, one, it's just a proposal. Two, it's incomplete, so we expect to add more things to it as time goes by. But hopefully it gives people a good idea of kind of where we're headed. Now, the way that it's organized is by time. So on the left of the diagram, and for those of you that are having a hard time viewing the whole diagram, you can zoom in and out using plus or minus or your mouse scroll wheel. So you can zoom out if you need to see it. On the left is time. So it starts in the past, things that were done before, like JWS and JWK. Those are signature mechanisms. And then it progresses to present day, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. In 2022. So this looks out to the year 2022. At each layer, at each level, so anything that's beside like 2018 or beside 2022 is when we're expecting those technical specifications to be mature enough that we can start a working group on those technical specifications. So you're basically looking at time. So right now, if we look from the top down, JWS and JWK, those were done a while ago. They're green. The specifications exist. They're international standards. If you look at 2018, in blue is Verifiable Credentials 1.0 and JSON-LD 1.1. Those currently have active working groups that are working on the international standards for them. They're fairly mature. Then you'll see things like credential status list, credential status blockchain, credential evidence. Those are specifications that we might need to slap together at the last second in the working group. So, they're red because we're not quite sure exactly how they're going to turn out or if we're even going to do that. But if they do happen, they're probably going to happen sometime in late 2018. And so on and so forth. So you'll notice that some of these boxes down below are blue, even though we don't plan on standardizing them or putting them into a working group until 2019 or 2020. And the reason that is, in some cases, is it's political, meaning that there is a political reason that it's difficult to get the standards work started around those specifications. or we want more implementation experience in the real world before we suggest that it become an international standard. Each specification has a slightly different set of reasons why it might progress at a different rate. But all that said, this should be all of the technologies needed for a self-sovereign technology stack. So let me stop there and see if there are at least any general questions on the diagram or how it's laid out, and then we can talk about how it can be changed after that. Any general questions on the diagram?
Okay, Chris?
Yeah, looking at it, I'm seeing signature suites on the cryptographic side, but you know, we're also increasingly encountering, like with our work on the data minimization and things of that nature, that we also have some kind of intersection of canonicalization and the signature suite issues. And so I'll give you a specific example, which is the redaction signature suite is really more about the canonicalization, where basically every node in the graph is hashed, and then the sum of the hashes is hashed, which is completely independent of the which cryptography suite is used. So where do those types of things fit in? The data minimization, the selective disclosure, the requirements for, you know, how people don't over-reveal or over-correlate. That's it.
Right. So basically, the way I looked at this is if we don't have a specification that people are actively working on that looks like it's getting implementations, it didn't go on there. So for example, you know, we did look at the redaction suite, but you know, it was something that we kind of put together as a proposal that really hasn't gotten anywhere, right? I mean, no one's implementing it in production. There's no work on the, you know, there's no work happening there. So that's kind of the general idea there, is that, you know, it's an important specification, but it's, you could argue that it's potentially a bit nice to have. Maybe the, you know, ZKP stuff that Sovereign's working on and IBM's working on is an alternate to that. Yeah, so in general, if there isn't a specification or it's not being actively worked on, it didn't make it onto the diagram.
Joe, please add me to the queue. This is Adrian.
Sure, Adrian. And Heather, you're next.
Hey, y'all. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so Manu, this was awesome. I saw this come in on my phone when you sent it. So it looks to me like this is a roadmap from the, like, internal CCG, how we're building technology perspective. I have a couple foresight methods that I think could potentially be complementary to this, to be able to explore the technology adoption or technology replacement between the adoption out in the marketplace, how it could be, and also technology lifecycle adoption, that can look at how the technology in your roadmap rolls out into being available to be used, and then at that point it goes out into the marketplace and it starts implementing and changing the market. And so I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but, like, you know, I have understanding and have worked with taking, like looking at what happens when it goes out in the marketplace, what happens when it changes things, how do you help have this get implemented, which I think could help with some of the business story, especially if, you want to have evidence or show that there's a reason to have these kinds of standards and protocols and have resources and working groups for them. So I don't know if it's appropriate to have a conversation about that. I don't know at what point it makes sense to bring it in, if there's any interest in bringing it in. But from a trained futurist perspective, I think it'd be really interesting to mash up some of the foresight technology adoption and transition methods that I know about with like a traditional technology roadmap.
Absolutely. So that's the thing that this this roadmap is completely missing is the user stories and business stories. This is helpful to maybe a software developer, but it is not helpful to key decision makers in enterprises and government and civil society. So yeah, absolutely, we should do that.
It might be interesting, because I need to do a little bit of preparation, and I think that there needs to be some education, because I doubt that anyone on this call is even aware of any of these methods, because they're very specialized to train futurists. And maybe some event that we're at, I don't know if it's, Rebooting Web of Trust or IW, like I could introduce some of these concepts and maybe we could kind of like work together on them. I recently mashed up my trained foresight methods with the cybersecurity space, and it really like resulted in a lot of delicious stuff. And so I just think it would be really interesting to do that here. I've never had an opportunity to apply these methods to like a technical roadmap in this way, so it'd be really juicy for me too. So I think it's just a matter of figuring out when it makes sense, or is this something we could also do as a project or something? I can't remember what you call it with the...
Yeah, so let me jump in. So I think this would be a great work item, Heather, for which we just need to put an abstract together and float it in front of the group. But, both Manu and Samantha chimed in as being interested in helping you. So I think that's enough to support the work item. We can take that offline, and I can work with you to put together a little charter and see what we can do within the working group. You could also do it as a Rebooting Web of Trust paper for the next event. But let's take that offline and see how we can, because that sounds like an interesting project.
Yeah, okay, cool. Sounds good. So, Joe, you and I will sync up and then circle back with Manu and Samantha. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Perfect. Okay, DCC, you're next.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble understanding the chart, so maybe you can help me here. I understand what the colors mean, and I assume that presumably red moves towards green over time. But I don't understand why things are associated with a particular time in the future, why they're not all green.
I see what you're saying. It was really hard trying to pack as much information into this as is there. Right. So the maturity. So the colors are supposed to kind of sort of deal with maturity. Like green is fully mature out in the world as an international standard. Blue.
Is that today?
It's today. Yes. Okay. No, it's today. So this, I expect this diagram is going to be updated every 3 to 6 months based on the maturity of these specifications. We may move them around.
So what's the location mean?
The location as in a top versus bottom?
Yeah, the time location of it. So it apparently doesn't mean when we expect it to be done.
It's when we expect it to be ready. It's when we expect it to be good enough to have a working group started around the work. Good enough to put into an international standard. And then it'll take another 2 years after that potentially. Right. So let's take an example. Let's do verifiable credentials 1.0. That right. went in, you know, a little bit ago, and it's going to be done 2 years from when it went in. The same thing, if we look at linked data signatures, we don't put that in until 2020. So the first time we're probably even going to suggest that that work starts at the World Wide Web Consortium is in the year 2020. And the reason for that is not because the spec doesn't have multiple implementations and we've got, like, you know, interoperability and things of that nature. It's because from a political standpoint, it's going to be difficult to start that work anytime before 2020. So if verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers don't catch on, the likelihood that we're going to be able to get the linked data signatures and that kind of work in a working group at W3C kind of evaporates, right?
So you think the BTCR DID method 1.0 will be ready for a work group in about 2021, and it will then be finished around 2023.
Yeah, but again, like, you know, this is kind of speculative. That's the best guess that I had. Other people might think differently.
Yeah, the problem with writing a roadmap for the future is that if you're always 100% correct, you'll be killed as a witch.
I honestly didn't think about that danger when putting this roadmap together.
Okay. Next up, Adrian.
Okay, so my work is around human agency and the self-sovereign technology stack, which Manu mentioned this diagram is meant to depict. And because I interpret the self-sovereign technology stack in terms of human agency or delegation capability, I work on two things. One of them is UMA as the delegation standard for authorization. And the second is a bunch of projects, none of them standards track yet, with IEEE, but they are starting to work, so I'm working on, like, philosophy. But there are groups, three or four standards track groups in the 7000 series trying to work on autonomous systems and artificial intelligence as IEEE standards. So... And the third point I wanted to make is that this idea of the implementation of the self-sovereign technology stack is effectively an item for the DIF, the Decentralized Identity Foundation, which I pay a tiny bit of attention to. So my project, HIE of One, is implementing this self-sovereign technology stack and talking about it, my data, and various other places. But I am wondering how we want to deal with delegation, agency, and authorization in this diagram.
Interesting question.
I mean, mine's very much related to that.
Well, you're next up, Chris, so you're good.
I mean, basically, my concern is that, you know, viewing this through a lens of, you know, who's, you know, actively coding on things, you know, I don't think it's enough. If we look at our charter, you know, our charter includes things like, that, you know, the importance of privacy. It includes things around, you know, the sort of the deployment of this type of stuff. So there's all kinds of holes. There's, you know, holes around authorization. There's holes around consent. Like, we don't have any kind of are we going to use UMA's consent receipt? Does that work in our architecture? Is there some other consent receipt? You know, all of these laws and such require consent, and we don't even have anything there. We don't have anything on the data minimization. We don't have anything on, you know, protecting the resilience of the keys that everybody has to have in order to use all of this stuff. So viewing everything through a lens of, oh, this isn't, you know, what people are actively working on, I think is going to lead us into a hole. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Manu?
Yep. So I wanted to, so I broadly agree. This is just one lens, right? So I think, you know, Heather mentioned another lens that we can look at the work that this group is doing through. I think what Adrian's bringing up is yet another, lens. So I don't have a very clear idea of how many different lenses we look through to the work that we're doing. This diagram certainly wasn't intended. I think it was really intended to be a technical roadmap, not necessarily kind of a how does the technology get diffused into the market roadmap, or the type of stuff that you're talking about, Christopher, which is, there are very important things that we need to do that are not on here. That if we don't do them, result in a bad outcome. So all I'm trying to say is that this is a proposal for a technical roadmap, and this is exactly the type of conversation I was hoping that we'd have around it. As far as Adrian, a delegation, there's some technical specifications that talk to that. So the OCAP LD stuff that's happening in 2022, HTTP OCAP auth, I put the hub stuff in there, the diff hub stuff in there down at the bottom. Christopher, there's the DKMS stuff around 2021. So I'm, I tried to link this stuff together. Adrian, Uma is missing, and I don't know where it fits in right now. But all we need to do to kind of pull it into this ecosystem is figure out what arrow we're drawing from where to Uma. So maybe we're gonna add another box and point to Uma. Maybe we point to Uma through the HTTP signature stuff. Or maybe it's something totally different. So I don't know, and I think that's a great conversation for this group to have.
Okay, one more thing. Relative to these lenses, I might suggest that in order to have a diagram like this and not necessarily be burned as a witch, we might want to include groups like the Decentralized Identity Foundation that are working in parallel on things related directly to this roadmap, but they're doing it because that's where industry is, at least the part of industry that's paying attention to DIDs and verifiable credentials. So would it make sense to both engage them and also mention these groups like DIF in this diagram?
Yes, absolutely. So just to point out, it was on purpose that we put the Hubs 1.0, or I put the Hubs 1.0 work in here. It's to make sure that DIF knew that they should have input on this, as should any other group that's working on technologies around this stuff.
Cool. Thank you, Bill. So I did put myself on the queue. I did have a comment that I want to wrap this up. We're going to move to the DID working group charter introduction. We're only going to have about 8 minutes to work on that. My thought here on this, Manu, especially as Adrian brought up DIF, we don't have a perspective on what needs to be built. In terms of a model of what a stack might be, in terms of storage and consent and whatever. So there are some more lenses that might give us some more visibility, which you've already spoken to. So, okay. So quick check of the queue. Things look good. So let's talk about the DID charter. So this is the first full draft shared with the group, I believe. Manu, would you like to introduce it?
Sure. So this is a long-standing action item to create a charter proposal for an official group at W3C. So the way this process works is when you want a new international standard created, you have to put forward a charter at W3C. The membership, which is about 400 plus member organizations, universities, for-profit corporations, nonprofits, et cetera, governments, end up voting on the charter. And if you get enough votes, then the work starts and you get to start attempting to do the international standardization of the specification that you're putting forward. So the requirements for a charter tend to be that it should be in a 24-month time period. It should be an incredibly focused work item. You should already have implementations and experience out in the real world for the technology. And in general, you should be pretty far along in knowing exactly what you're going to standardize. So the DID specification is probably going to hit that stage towards the latter part of this year, meaning that we will have multiple implementations, you know, we'll have roughly been following the same specification, and so on and so forth. So this charter proposal tries to fit into that shape that W3C membership is comfortable with. So it's a two-year charter. We are focused just on the DID specification. That's it, nothing else. And as a result, it's a fairly simple charter, right? It's there are two things that the working group should work on. The first thing is decentralized identifiers, data model, and syntax specification, which is what we've been incubating in this community and what we've been implementing in this community. The other one is the decentralized identifier use cases, which is some of the stuff that we've been working on in this community group over the past several months. And that's it. It's take that material and create an international standard out of it. We have had some feedback from Liam, who's a W3C staff contact. He suggested that we remove a couple of a couple of groups that we were required to coordinate with. He didn't feel that that was necessary. But other than that, he said it looked good to go. Most of the stuff at the bottom of the specification is standard W3C boilerplate. The really important stuff in any charter is the mission of the group, which is up at the top, the scope of the work that you're doing, specifically what is out of scope, and what you're going to deliver. There's also something in there about a timeline. The only thing that I did not mention is the stuff that's out of scope. So here are the things that are in the charter that are listed as in scope and out of scope. In scope is get the DID spec standardized and publish the use cases. That's in scope. Out of scope is anything having to do with authentication protocols, authorization protocols, browser APIs, specific implementations of DID methods and protocols. So we can talk about that in the group and how it impacts the core DID spec, but we're not going to standardize any DID specific DID method like BTCR or Sovereign or VerisOne. That's not a part of this working group's work. And then in general, we're not trying to solve identity on the web in the all-encompassing way that people look at identity. We're just there. This working group is just there to standardize decentralized identifiers, that specification, and that's it. So that's it for kind of what the charter's about. I guess we can just jump into general questions or specific suggestions at this point.
Okay, so let me do two things in the nature of time. One is, here's the URL for the repo. Correct me if I'm out of line here, Manu, but I think beyond this few minutes we'll have for Marcus and whoever jumps on the queue, issues there are welcome.
Yes.
So that'd probably be a great spot if you see a typo or something you think is completely wrong or an area you could improve. Give us an issue on the GitHub. And then let me ask Marcus.
Yeah, I think I asked the same question last time. I apologize. I don't quite remember the answer. It's DID resolution. Would that be in scope for the charter? And if yes, would it be a separate document as an output of the working group?
It would not be in scope. So DID resolution is specifically out of scope for the charter. It doesn't mention it, but it doesn't put it down as a work item. The only way that we could put it in scope is if we had, you know, potentially two interoperable implementations and a spec that had a decent bit of experience behind it. The goal here is we're going to try to launch this group January of next year, and that doesn't give us a lot of time. But that said, I mean, you can always put in optional work items. So we could say DID resolution is going to be a part of this charter as an optional deliverable. So the working group doesn't fail if they don't get DID resolution done, but you know, as a stretch goal, let's see if they can get DID resolution done. The downside there, of course, being that sometimes companies object because you're doing they think you're trying to do too much. I think it's an open question. I think we should really incubate DID resolution in the CG a bit more before putting it into a working group. We should also understand that more than likely the DID working group probably is going to be rechartered after it's done to work on things like specific DID methods, DID resolution, things of that nature. Did that answer your question, Marcus?
Yes, I think so. I just feel like DID resolution is very closely related to the core syntax and data model, but the options you explained, they make sense. Thank you.
Okay, so we're at 10 o'clock. Ryan, you're on the queue, so let's hear from you. And real quick, I'm just going to repost the URL for next week's topic, which is the Amira paper. Ryan?
I'd like to defer my question. I don't think it's researched well enough, but basically I stand with Marcus that we need to think about what this fit is a little closer.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. And that's a wrap for this week. Thank you all. We'll talk to you next week. And the hackathon is up next on that Zoom line.